The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas is Parashas Yisro. In Parashas Yisro, we have the Aseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment, this is in Shmos Chof, Posuch Ches, states, Zocher Eshem HaShabbos Lekatshoi. You should remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. Sheshish Yomim Tavoid, for 6 days you shall work and do all of, you shall work, you shall labor and take care of all of your work. And on the seventh day is a Shabbos, a day of rest to Hashem. You should not do any work at all. Uvincho vitecho, you, your son, your daughter, Abdecha ve'amoscho, your servant, your maidservant, ubemtecha, your animal, v'gercha asher b'shorecha, and the convert which is in your gates. Ki sheishish yomim oso Hashem es hashomayim ves haoretz, because for 6 days HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the heavens and the earth, as Hayom ves kol asher bom, the sea and all that was in it, vayonach bayim hashvii, and he rested on the seventh day. Al kein beirach Hashem Hashem Hashabbos vayikadshehu, and therefore he blessed the day of Shabbos and sanctified it. We've spoken on Shabbos many times and many shurim. We're not going to do that this evening. We're going to bring out a different aspect. But what do we see from here? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to distinguish and uplift and sanctify Shabbos from the rest of the days of the week. Rest of the days of the week are Yemei Chol. They're days which are not sanctified. My Shabbos is Kodesh. Shabbos is sanctified. And the reason is explained in the Psukim, because for 6 days HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all he was supposed to do in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the sea, and Vayonach Be'em Hashvi, and he rested on the seventh day. And because of that, he was Beirach by Katshehu. He blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. And the Chazal explained, he uplifted the seventh day to give it a level of Me'ein Olam Haba, of the next world. And it's a day from this world, but it's a day which is also from the next world. Therefore, it's the chibor. It joins the two worlds together. And therefore, it's full of brachas, and it's full of kedusha, sanctity. And because of that, we have to sanctify it and uplift it from all of the other days of the of this world. And that's through being poresh min hamalocha, to abstain from Meloch Mileches Elam Hazeh, the works and the toil of this world. So this, in a summary, is what Shabbos is. We can ask a question. What would be if a person wanted to make Shabbos more than one day of the week? Wanted to keep Shabbos. Shabbos is such a wonderful day. We'll keep it 2 days a week, 3 days of the week. What do we have to work so much for? Now, naturally, a person is not allowed to make new Shabboses, not allowed to add to the mitzvahs of the Torah, and it will be totally meaningless. But let's say he wanted to bring some of this level of Shabbos into the week, where the Torah says on Shabbos, during the week you work, and on Shabbos you rest. You don't do work. Say, during the week are we obligated to do work? We'll rest during the week also. We'll be perish mimalocha. We will take it easy. What would be then the din? It's a mitzvah to rest on Shabbos. But we'll rest during the week also. Don't have to work. And this our sages give us clarification. In the Ovis de Rav Nosson, in Perek HaHarasor, Siman Aleph, 11th Perek, Siman Aleph, states as follows. Kishem Shahatora Nitna Berbris, just like a covenant was made on Torah, Kacha Malocha Nitna Berbris, so was the working, this that a person must work, also was given with a covenant. As it states, Sheishes Yomim Tavid, Vosisukom Lachtecho, Yemashvi Shabbos Lashem Alakecho. For 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. As a little, the Girs is not quite correct. What the Ovis Rav Nosson means, it will be more mistake, not as Torah. The Gemara brings him a second, and the Dorim, Gimel Dvorim Nitnam Bebris, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made a covenant on three things, on the Torah, on the Milah, and on Shabbos. But all three are mentioned Bris, Brisi, my covenant, my contract with you. So the Ovis Rav Nosson is saying that just like Shabbos was given Bebris, Malocha also was given Bebris. Just like he said that you shall rest on the seventh day, so did he say you shall do Malocha, you shall work on the 6 days. And that's what is written, Sheishes Yomim Tavid, Vos Yisukol Malachtecho. Kishem Shenitna Bris Ala Shvisa, Kei Nitna Bris Ala Malocha. This is the source, the Ovis Rav Nosson says, for the Mishnah in Masechta Ovis, that's what the Ovis Rav Nosson is going on. Mishnah in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud, Shamayo Vavtalyun Kiblu Mehem, they received the Torah from the generation prior to them. Shamayo Eimer, Ehov Es HaMalocha, a person should love labor and toil, usnei es harabonus, and he should have a hatred for the rabonus. What was the rabonus? The rabonus was the aristocracy and the nobility. What do we have against the aristocracy and nobility? We're not too used to this today because we don't have the class system too much. In some places in Europe, England and other places, they still have. But a person of high class, they were known as men and women of leisure. Gentlemen didn't work. The fact is, they disdained work. A person who worked, he was known from the working class. He was a tradesman, a laborer. But the aristocracy, the nobility, they lived off others. Either fortunes that their forefathers had amassed or stolen from others or whatever it might be. And they were known as men of leisure. So in this, Shemaiah says, you should love the working class. You should love labor and toil and hate the rabonus. That was the nobility. Baltisvado l'roshus. The roshus was royalty. Now, what was the difference between nobility and royalty? Today there's not much difference because there's no royalty today. Even where you have royalty, it's not real royalty. Royalty was power. The royalty were the rulers. So he says, Al tizvado leroshush. Don't have anything to do with the ruling forces of your society. The ruling class, the royalty, it should be today, it would be the government, see? The government of the day. Don't even make yourself known to them. This is what Shemaiah taught. Where did he get this from? The Onusar Ibn Nosson said, because from these psukim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you should rest on Shabbos, that this is from all types of labor and toil. At the same time, he said that you should labor during the 6 days of the week. We have a further elaboration of this in a further Mishnah. And that's in Perek Beis of Masechta Avos, Mishnah Beis. That's by Rem Gamlil, B'nei Shel Rabbi Yehuda Nosi. Rabbi Yehuda Nosi was the great Rebbe. He was a prince of Israel. He was the editor and the publisher of the Mishnah. Gamliel was his son. Gamliel said, Yofe Talmud Torah im derech eretz. How beautiful is one who spends much time studying Torah, but at the same time he fulfills derech eretz. He works for a living. Shigia shnei mishkachas oven. Through the labor of both of them, labor in Torah and labor in Melocha, then he will totally have Aveira disappear from his life. V'chol teira she'enim ha'melocha, and any Torah that does not have with it Melocha, sefer b'teila, in the end it will end up with nothing. V'geireres oven, and it will bring hate. And then a little further, he speaks about the roshus. He says, have you zehirin barashus? Be careful of the royalty, of the ruling powers. Why? Shein makarvin leila odem elatzorach atzmon. Because they are only interested in people for their own personal needs, their own personal interests. Miroin ke ayavin b'shas hanoson. They look like friends when they're benefiting from you. But when you need them, they're not there. So this is what Rabbi Gamliel said. Incidentally, Rabbi Gamliel Nibud Anossi lived during the times of the Roman Empire. And the Romans were at that time, the royalty of the Roman were the ruling class. Now, we spoke, this Shabbos, we spoke on this a bit. And on this particular aspect of Melocha, I would like to elaborate more this evening. What does Rashi say on these Mishnais? Rashi says, firstly says, Ayiv es Melocha kiram amar, like the Gemara says, Pshayt nivlose b'shuka, leitaymar kano ano gav rabano. A person who needs money, he has none. It's a question now. He can't live, or maybe he should go beg. But he's offered a job. But the job is below his dignity. The Gemara says, if necessary, he should take a nevela, a carcass of an animal, if that was the job, and skin it even in the shuk. And he shouldn't say that I'm a great person, it's not for me, or I'm a Kohen, it's not for me. Because he's working, he's gainful employment. And then the Rashi says, because he pursues his panosha, then he will not be tempted to become a crook. And he will not be tempted to come on to charity. And this will give him length of days. As it states, that he who stays away from gifts from others will have long life. And it states that he who eats from the labor of his hands will have olam hazev, olam haba, both worlds. Usano es harabonis, and he shall hate the rabonis. This was the nobility. Lefi shemekaberes es baaleho. It brings an untimely death to people. Kiromamah, like the Gemara says, mipnei mayos meis Yosef lifnei echod. Yosef died many years before his brothers. His brothers lived much longer than him. And the Gemara says, why? Because shenog atzme barabonus. Because Yosef was from the nobility. Then, Rashi on the next Mishnah says, he says that someone who learns Torah, but he does not combine it with Derech Eretz, with Malocha, and it'll end up with nothing and bring hate, because a person has to have what to eat, he has to have what to live by. He can end up to become a crooked if he has nothing to live by, and his Talmud will be totally ended, forgotten. Now, what do we mean when we say malach? What is the interpretation of that? The malacha has a number of perspectives, and we're speaking about all of them, as will be clarified here. Malacha is that one must occupy an occupation. He must involve himself in worldly toils and endeavors. Firstly, for gain, gainful employment. He should sell his products or his services or his labors in order to have gain, and from there he can be mispanis mimanu, and this will give him a living, and he will be able to support himself with dignity and his family. Secondly, there's another type of malacha, even if it's not for gainful employment, and that the Gemara refers to as the malacha that we do for a tikkun le'atzma or le'beisei. People are involved, for example, you buy food, you cook it. You can buy material and you make clothing from it. You do work on your home. All of these is bechlal, is inclusive in malocha. If you're not doing it for employment, but through malocha, then the person is able to take care of the necessities of the human being. This he does for his home, he does it for others, for his household, or he could do it for others, b'teiras chesed, go around and help people, fix things, make things for them, even though he's not getting any gain from it. That's also inclusive in this malocha. There's a third perspective in the malacha that the Gemara refers to, and that is that a person must be productive. He must be an achiever. He must contribute. Many times you can do malacha, and you can go around and do different types of works, but you've accomplished nothing. It's without a tachlis, without any goal or point to it. Now, the Gemara says a person must achieve. He must contribute to his society with his malocha. He must produce. And this the Gemara refers to where he has to be Eisig B'Yishuv Shal Olam. He has to be a contributor, an achiever, industry for society. So all of this is nichlal, is inclusive in when the Chazal refer to Malocha, and as we will see. Now, the Maral makes an observation here. Shemaya said, Ehaiv Esa Malocha, you shall love Malocha. What did he say, Ehod, you shall love? Should have said, Yivchor Es Malocha. Generally, the Chazal tell us, Yivchor, choose a Malocha. Like the Gemara says, La'ilam, a person should choose a good Malocha, Malocha Nakia. What does it mean, you should love Malocha? And then he said, Sino Es Harabonis, you shall hate the non-working class, the nobility and the aristocracy, or those that distance themselves and hold themselves up above and beyond Malocha. Hate them. The Chazal usually say, Harchek etzatzmai, Harchek mishochin, distance yourself. Why hate them? And then when it comes to the royalty, the ruling class, he said, Altisvada laroshus. Don't even make yourself known to them. They shouldn't know who you are. This is very, very strong language. He says, from here we see how far our Chachomim went to teach the person how chobiv, how dear Malocha should be to him. It's not enough that Medav Machan Alem, you have to go out to work because you have to make a living. It would have been better if you could be a person of leisure. Chas v'sholom. But a person, the Chazal is trying to teach a person that in the Malocha itself, there are enormous brochas for the person, enormous blessings. And without it, the person is a chosar, relaxed. It's not because you have to make a living. But a person must chain himself, Ehov esa Malocha, to love the Malocha, and to hate those who disdain the Malocha, or who look down or frown on Malocha. And the ruling class that's even above that, yeah, don't even have anything to do with them. They should know you exist, and then it's the best thing. This is what he says. He says, you see how far our Chachomim have gone in this. Because generally they do not use these types of terminologies. And then we can make another point also, because Rav Gamliel, in the next Mishnah that we learned, the second parak, Yofe Talmud Torah im derech eretz, notice he uses the word Yofe. That's also a strange word. Yofe means how beautiful. He should have said, a person should have Torah im derech eretz. Leilum yeodom derech eretz im torasoi. My Yofe. Yofe means something when it's beautiful and perfect. Shleimus. And that's what Rav Gamliel says. You want perfection. You want the ultimate. That's Torim Derech Eretz. And that's the Tov, the ultimate of goodness. Something else we can be Ma'ere here. We can observe. Who are saying these things? Shemaya was from the children of Gerim. The Chazal tell us he came from Sancheirav. See, he was from Malchus. Came from royalty. So you knew what he was talking about. Sometimes you get someone, a tradesman, someone, a laborer. All right. See, what does he know about it? Shemaya came from Malchus. And he's telling you, he knows what Malchus is, what the ruling class was. It's not Malchus Yisrael, what the ruling class was. He knows what nobility and aristocracy was. Who said the next Mishnah? Rav Gamliel Hanossi. Rav Gamliel, the son of Rav Yehuda Hanossi, who was so powerful and so great that he was a confidant of the Caesar. And the Caesar used to come to his great home to visit him. And Rav Yehuda Hanossi and Gamliel, they were from Malchus Beis David. They came from the family of David HaMelech. And they were very, very wealthy. So what are they talking about Malocha for? Still, he said, he's coming to teach Klal Yisrael how important the Malocha is. Now let's, before we go into some of the depth involved, let's see what further the Abbas Daram Nosson has to say on this. So first they said that it states Sheshes Yomim Tavayd Basisakom Alachtecho, for 6 days you shall work and do all of your work. Ve'mashvi Shabbos Lashem Alakecho, and on the seventh day will be Shabbos. Le'sasikom Malocha, you shall not do any work. So the Abbas of the Rav Nosson says that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant that on Shabbos you should abstain from work, he made a covenant that the 6 days of the week a person must work. He must involve himself in worldly occupation, worldly affairs. Rabbi Kiva Aimer, Rabbi Kiva says, Itim shodemaisa malocha umisnatzel min amiso. Sometimes a person can do malocha, and through this he can save himself from death. And sometimes he will become too lackadaisical. He will want to be a person of leisure and not do malocha. And he'll be chayv misa l'shamayim. He will be subject to the death penalty to heaven. For example, person the whole week, he just messes around, plays around, person of leisure, it's a holiday, and he doesn't do malocha. Comes Erev Shabbos, he doesn't have what to eat. Meanwhile, he was entrusted with some money that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. So what can he do? Shabbos, he has nothing to eat, so he takes the money and he uses it. He's guilty, subject to the death penalty from heaven, because he misused HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money, the money of Hegdish. Okay. Aval imaya peil, what happens if he's a laborer? And he went and he got himself a job in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash needed painting or fixing or whatever, bricks or whatever. And then they paid him with the money that belonged to Hegdish as his wages. And he used this to buy food for himself. He has every right. So here, one person takes money of Hegdash. He uses it, subject to the death penalty. The other person takes the money of Hegdash. He uses it as a mitzvah. This is Yigias Kapay, the labor of his hands. The labor of his hands, the malocha, changed the money of Hegdash and changed his halacha from either being subject to the death penalty or where he did a mitzvah, he helped build the Beis HaMikdash. This is what Rabbi Kiva said. Rab Dastoy Omer, Minayin Shim Le'asa Malocha Kol Shisha. How do we know that if a person doesn't do work during the week, he can be forced to do work on Shabbos? But if a person does work during the week, he'll be able to fulfill Shabbos. He says, there could be someone who, he's a playboy, right? So he doesn't do work. Now he's broke. He has a lot of gambling debts, or he owes people money that he borrowed because he went on expensive holidays or whatnot. He went out to see the world. What does he do? Eventually, in desperation, he joins a gang of crooks, gets involved in shady things. Tafsu, the police arrest him, he's caught and he's arrested. They put him in jail, and they force him to do, this was in the days when someone would go to jail, not like today, you go to jail, that's like a hotel, and they give you free room and board. Now, hard labor. Went to jail, they forced him to do hard labor, and they forced him to work on Shabbos. So Rab Dastoy says, here you see someone who worked during the week, he will be able to keep Shabbos. Someone who loafs during the week, he can end up having to work on Shabbos. Rab Shimon Loza Aimer, Af Oda Marisha in Leito Am Klum, Ache Osim Alocha. Adam HaRishon was not allowed to eat anything from this world until first he had the bracha of Malocha. As it states, Vayanechehu began Eden le'obdo le'shomra. Kodesh Baruch Hu placed him in Gan Eden to labor and to guard the garden. And then it says, Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochel Techel, from all the trees of the garden you shall eat. Adam HaRishon was not granted permission to eat from this world until he did Malocha. Now, this was not gainful employment. He didn't need gainful employment. Kodesh Baruch Hu was putting everything right in front of him. In fact, as it states that he had Malochim coming down and brine meat for him. But still, he needed Malocha. Reb Tarfon Eimer Afa Kodesh Baruch Hu Lehi Shre Shechinos Al Yisrael Atches Osa Malocha. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not bring the Shechina, his Shechina, his holy presence on Yisrael, until they did Malocha. As it states, we also leave Migdosh, they went and they built the Mishkan. What did they do? They sowed. They made gold. They made silver. They made the wood. They did all types of malocha, all types of worldly toil and labor. Then it states, V'shochanti b'seichon. Kodesh Baruch Hu would not bring the Shechina down until they did malocha. This was not gainful employment. They didn't need gainful employment. They were wealthy. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Eimer, Mi shein le malocha la'asos, ma yaseh? What happens if a person doesn't have any malocha to do? What should he do? Now, it's referring here to a person who doesn't need the malocha. It's a wealthy person. Or he's retired. Retired, he's got a good pension, he's got a good insurance policy. So he doesn't need the malocha. What should he do? Should he sit bottled? Chas v'sholom. Im yesh lechotze chareva, o sode chareva, yelech v'yisasek bo. If he has a field that's run down, even though he doesn't need it, let him go and prove it. If he has some type of house, a shed in the back of his home that's run down, let him go paint it and fix it up. Yisasikbo. As it states, Sheish Yishomim Tavayit. The malocha was given as a brocha to the person. And if he doesn't need the malocha, he has to find some malocha. Vosisakol malachtecho. Matamalema vosisakol. It says, 6 days you shall work and you should do all of your work. Why all of your work? Lohavi mishia ishle chatzeris or sodis chareva, this type of case. And this is very important because we have what the insurance pension holders call the golden years. Save for the golden years. Shlema Melech referred to them as the Yomim Shein Bem Chefetz, as the days which one should not desire. And generally you go into the golden years of retirement. And as far as the Gemara is concerned and the Chazal, like we're going to see right here, that's the best way to put nails in one's coffin. Gemara says once you retire and stop work, then you're giving permission to the Malach HaMoves to finish you off. Chas v'sholom, never stop work. Right? And they find out that today. With people who can't work, they have to give them occupational therapy. Because just doing nothing itself is marmi mobis, destroys a person. So they have to find some type of occupation, and it has to be an occupation with a goal, with an achievement. Even if they pay them for it, then there's some, at least some goal and achievement. So it states, Tarfin Eimer, he says, Ein Odom Meis, Elamitech HaBatola. Person dies from inactiveness, improductivity, lack of productivity. Shneamar, as it states, Vayigva Vayosef El Amov, it says by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was dying in Parshas Vayechi. That's when he became sick. He was dying. And Ephraim went from Goshen to Yosef to tell him that our grandfather's dying. So Yosef hurried. He took Ephraim, he took Menashe, and right away went up to Goshen to see his father. And his father said, "Yes, I'm dying. Come to me and call everyone here, and so I can give brachas to everyone before I die." All right. So it states, "Vayikra Yaakov el Bonav." This is in Parshas Vayechi, Perek Memtes. "Vayikra Yaakov el Bonav Vayomer." And he said, "Hey, Osfu, gather together, Vagidu Lachem Esashi Yikra Eskem Bachris Ayomim. Yikopsu Vishimu Bnei Yaakov, Vishimu Al Yisrael Avichem. Come to me, and I will tell you what will happen to you, and I want to give you all brachas." So he goes through a whole long exercise of giving each one a whole elaborate, complicated bracha. So it seems he was doing well. He was doing well. Wasn't dying. Okay. Then it states, "Vayechal Yaakov letzavis es bonav." He finished instructing his sons what to do and give them the brachas, and immediately it states, "Vayesov raglav el amitov." He gathered his legs onto the bed, "Vayigva ve'asef el amov," and he passed away. Why? Just now? The whole time he was able to hold out, and just now. So the Gemara says, from here we see that Ein Adam Meis Elamitecha Batolo. And while he had what to do, very important, it was industry, and he was involved, and he was working. No. But once he finished, now he died. That's what the Gemara says on that. Then the Gemara says, "Shamanu la'anoshim." We hear about men. Men are balei malocha. They have to go out, they have to labor, they have to make a living. Noshim minayin. What about women? Is malocha also so important for women? Yes. As it states, "Ish v'isha al yasu eid malocha letrumas hakodesh." When HaKodesh Baruch Hu told the people to construct the Mishkan, "Go and do malocha for me, and then I will bring down the Shekhinah," it states he instructed the men and the women. So we see that just as the men have to do malocha, the women also. Then it states, "Litfolim inayin." What about children? Now in our society, which is the society of great wisdom, as you take a look around the world and you see, children don't work. Children don't have to work. Chas v'sholom. Chas v'sholom, children should have to work. You can maim them for life. Not only that, they can take you to court for slave labor or for causing a minor to work. Right? Europe, 6, 7 years old, 8 years old, they were working. And it seemed they did all right. My father, Olav HaShalem, he wasn't brought up in Europe. He was brought up in America. But at 10 years old, 11 years old, he was going to high school, but he was working. He was delivering telegrams. Then he and his brother at 10, 11 years old bought a newsstand. And they sold papers. 15, he had to quit high school, like most people. Yet he still became an accountant. Yeah, how could he? He went to work full time. How did he become an accountant? He went to night school. Became a top executive. Didn't seem to bother his profession. Became a top executive. The senior internal auditor for Bell Telephone, Northwestern Bell Telephone. I was brought up in the easy times. We were all told that we didn't know what work was. I mean, we went to high school. We had the right to finish university. But still, 14, 15 years old, I had a job every day after school. If you wanted some money, you went to work. Otherwise, you didn't get the money. But Chas v'Shalom, today, till 25, 30 years old, you're not allowed to work because you're still an infant. This is why we have a world like today. Person not allowed to work till he's 25, 30 years old. He's preparing for his career. Another 20 years, he'll be tired from his career. I don't know. I can't agree with our educational system. I don't know why it takes a block of 25 years to educate someone. Okay? If they would cut that time down to 50% or one-third of the time, I'm sure they would get the same thing in if they had to. Okay? But a person spends his whole life. And everyone deserves a time on the campus. And everyone deserves a time of touring. So Chas v'Shalom, work is not good for children. Chazal saw it differently. The Tfoli Minayin, how do we know children also work as a brocha for them? By Yikole Ha'am, as it states, by Yikole Ha'am Mehovi, that the whole nation involved themselves in building the Mishkan, the young children also. If you want to train a child to be an adult, you have to give him responsibility and you have to give him the opportunity to do malocha. If you want to train a child how to be an immature person, don't give him responsibility and don't teach him aloha. And then he'll grow up. When he's 25, is enough time for him to start facing responsibilities. Then, so this is what the Ovester of Nosen has to say on this Brocha Melocha. We have many, many Chazals in the Shas, the Bavli, on this. But, for example, we'll mention a few. The Mishnah in the first Perek of Kiddushin, Chayav Adam Lelamed Es B'nai Umnes. A father, one of the obligations of a father is to teach his son some type of trade or profession or gainful way of employment. And the Gemara says, or the Mishnah called Misha Eino ki ilam alam de listias. And if you do not, so it's the same as training him to become a gangster. Then we have another Mishnah in Tshuvas, where the Mishnah says that even wealthy people, men and women, wealthy people who have enough money for everything, and they have many, many servants, so they don't have to do anything. It states they must do malocha. Why? Because habatola mevia lidei shamum. Because if they do not do malocha, then idleness will destroy them. Idleness brings mental illness and depression. And therefore, even if someone is very wealthy, and they have many, many servants, yeah, idleness is self-destructive. Now, when we say malocha, we have to qualify this. This doesn't mean activity. It means productivity. They don't need gainful employment, but they have to produce. The Gemara says, for example, now, this was common. What do the people of leisure do? The gentlemen, the men of leisure, the aristocracy, they don't sit home and look at the walls all day. They keep themselves very active because they know they'll go out of their minds otherwise. But what do they do with their activity? They'll go to horse races. This was a big thing by the aristocracy, the nobility. They will go, they will be very, very busy holding big parties. They will do sport. Right? Like today, retired people, so what do you do with them? You tell them to join a bowling club. Right? They'll do sport. There was polo, fox hunting, golf, and so on. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. In fact, there's a Mishnah that says, this was called classified as chayk, tzchok. Mishnah says, mi'at tzchok. Some tzchok, some of this is very good for the person needs it. He needs a little leisure, he needs a little sport, he needs a little relaxation, this he needs. But we're talking about people who make an occupation of it. This was the aristocracy. Now on that, the Gemara brings, Mesachei Bekuvia, they passel for Edus. Someone who made his living through card playing. See, many times you have elderly women and you want to get them to do something, so you organize a card club for them. Right? Look, that's good, a little, but not an occupation of it. Right? So it says, on those that would play cards and gamble, which was also a great sport of the royalty and of the aristocracy. It says, apostle them for Edus. Won't accept them for Edus to be to testify in court. Why? She'ena Isaac be Yeshuva shel Eilam. Because they're not contributing to the society of the world. Malocha is either, like we said, it's gainful employment, or it's tikkun ha'odom, you're doing something for the person, you're fixing something, you're making something, or you're contributing to society with your labor. But anything else like that is classified as, that's idleness. And that's self-destructive. A little is good, but when it becomes the person's mainstay, that'll destroy him. There was an interesting thing I once read, the Rothschild family. The Rothschild family were not nobility or aristocracy. They weren't blue bloods. There it went by lineage in Austria and Germany and in England. But they were wealthier than kings. And because of that, all of the kings and the nobility wanted to know them and would invite them and so forth. So I once read a story where they invited the Rothschilds to come to the races, the horse races, but it was on a Monday. All right, they didn't want to turn down the invitation, so they went. After they came back, they said, that's the last time. I said, yes, why not? He says, we're working people. We're not used to going to the races in the week. We're working people. Now, to get a little more depth into this, see, what is so important? Why is it so important? The Manal says as follows. Malocha, that we're speaking about, is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for the shlemus of the world, of this world. The melacha is where you involve yourself, you occupy yourself with an achievement, an advancement, some type of perfection of worldly affairs. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created for this world. And that's why it belongs to the Yemei HaChol, Sheishish Yomim Tavayt. Belongs to the week, because the week was the creation of Olam Hazeh, this world. Shabbos? No. Not there's something wrong with it. But Shabbos is Mein Olam Haba. Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uplifted. He was Beirach V'Kidesh. He blessed it and he sanctified it. He uplifted it from this world. It's already part of the next world. The next world is not the Yemei HaChol, is not the world of worldly toil. But the Yemei HaChol, the 6 days, that is the physical world, where Malocha is part and parcel of it, how people can perfect, advance, contribute, take gain from this world. If a person is going to involve himself in this, then he's part of this world. If a person will abstain from this, that means he's distancing himself from this world. And that a person is not allowed to do. He has to live in both worlds. He was made from this world, and he was made from the next world. Shabbos, there we taste the next world. Shabbos, no, you have to abstain from the malacha. But sheishes yomim tavay, but in the 6 days, we have to partake and contribute and participate in this world. And therefore, elhay v'esa malacha, because this is the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you and made you part of it. Senei esarabonis, hate the nobility. You see the strong language, hate the nobility. And the aristocracy, the men of leisure that frowned and looked down on the working class. They have removed themselves from this world. And certainly the roshus, the royalty. When you remove yourself from this world, you won't get very far. And therefore it's mekaberes es ba'aleho. It buries those that do so. And that's what it says, Nebuch by Yosef, that he had to be from the aristocracy, from the nobility. He died much younger than his brothers. Now, actually, there's an interesting Gemara in Masechta Pesachim that we see this from. The Gemara brings in Masechta Pesachim and Daf Kuf Yud Ches. After Adam HaRishon sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to punish him. What was the punishment? So it states, Ulaodam Omar, this is in Bereshit Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ki shamata lekol ishtecha v'teichel mineis asher tzivisicha lebalei seichal mimenu, because you ate from the tree, which I commanded you not to, arura ha'adoma ba'avurecha. Cursed is the earth because of you, bitzovain techaleno kol yemei chayecho, you will eat with great anguish all the days of your life from the earth, bekeitz v'dada tatzmiach loch, and when you plant, instead of beautiful crops coming up, it'll be full of thorns and thickets and thistles. And you will eat from the grass of the field. Then it says, you will eat bread by the sweat of your brow. What does this have to do with it? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? You already told him. You already cursed him. He said, the earth will be cursed from you. You will eat with great anguish and pain and thorns and weeds and thistles will grow, and you'll eat from the grass of the sod. Now he comes along and says, "Bezeh sapecha techo lechem." You will eat with the sweat of your brow. What does this have to do with it? Generally, we take on this was a curse, but this was the same. This is the same way we curse. The Gemara says this was a brocha, so not a curse. "Bezeh sapecha techo lechem," that you will eat with the sweat of your brow, was a brocha. The curses were already given. This was a compensation. And notice, first it says you will eat from the grass, and now it says, with the sweat of the brow, you will eat lecha, bread. So the Gemara explains. Gemara says in Psochim Kuf Yud Ches, that when Adam HaRishon heard the curses, when he heard this curse, Zolgu Einov Demos, he started to weep. Why did he weep? because he'd have to work hard. No. Moshe says no. He wasn't afraid of the work. Because he'd have to run after Parnos all of the time? No. He wasn't afraid of that. That's not why he wept. The Gemara says he wept because he says, Omar lefonav Ribbeinu shel Olam. He says, Ribbeinu shel Olam, what have you done to me? Ani vechamori neichal be'evus echod. You have lowered me to the level of my donkey. I and my donkey will eat from the same food. You have said that I will eat the grass of the sod there. That's what my donkey eats. He says, what have you done to the great man that you created that was supposed to be a king? And he started to weep. Kivan sho'om alei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, b'zeh sapecha teichal lechem, with the sweat of your brow you will eat bread. Niskara daitai. He became complacent. He was happy. He said, no. Your donkey will eat the grass. You will take the grass. You will take what grows. And you will toil. And with the toil, you will make bread. And you will eat bread. Something that your donkey cannot do. And the sweat of the brow, there was a brocha. That's what Rabbi Kiva told the Roman Matronusa. One time there was a Roman nobility, a noble woman came to Rabbi Kiva. And he said, whose deeds are greater? Whose acts are greater? The Almighty or man? He says, man's. She says, how can you say such a thing? So he brought her. He brought her wheat. And he brought her beautiful, beautiful breads and pastries. He says, what's your better? Here the wheat HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, and the cakes and the pastries and the bread man made. You see, man's is greater. Where's that bracha from? The bracha of Malacha. That your donkey won't be able to do. He'll have to take from the sodeh whatever is in the sodeh, whatever in the field. But you will be zeyas apecha, you will use the sweat of your brow, you will use the powers of your mentality, the powers of your muscle, and you will perfect this world where you can bring beauty out of it. She says, now, he says, I did not diminish you, I did not bring you down to the level of your donkey. Niskara daitai, Adam cooled off. He was happy. Malacha was the barocha that was given to the person, where through the malacha he uplifts himself. That distinguishes him between man and the animal. In this world, in the physical world, not in the spiritual world. Spiritual world is not this toil. That's why Shabbos is the spiritual world. Shabbos is leisasiko malacha. But we don't live Shabbos 7 days a week. We live in the physical world 6 days a week, and on Shabbos we live in the spiritual world. Therefore, sheishes yomim taved vasisako malachtecho. 6 days you must work. Yom Hashvi, the seventh day, then you will rest from all malacha. And kishem shenitna bris al hashvisa kach nitna bris al malacha. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant and abstaining from work on Shabbos, so do you make a covenant how much to, and must involve yourself in worldly affairs during the week. See, this was the brocha that was given to man. So therefore, man has to be part of this world. If not, it's a churban. It's a churban, it's a destruction of the world. What do the nobility contribute to the world? Nothing. That's why they were called that they live off the fat of the land. What did they took, they didn't give to the world and the ruling class. And that's why Shemayel knew so well. He came from Malchus. And that's why Rav Gamliel knew so well. They saw the Malchus. The Maral says, this is the explanation which the Gemara in Brochas brings on Daf Ches. But the Gemara says on the Posuk, it's in Ashir HaMalas, Godlan, it says, Yigia kapecha ki seichal, ashrecha v'teiv loch. He who eats from the labor of his hands, ashrecha means he will be Fortunate, we translate it fortunate, but actually it comes from the word ya'asher, osher, which comes from the word strength. How fortunate and strong he'll be, and tevlo, how good it'll be for him. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? That mishenene, miyegias kapecho, he who takes pleasure from the labor and the fruits of his hands, Ashrecha ba'elam hazeh, it'll be good and strong for him in this world, because it says two things, Ashrecha and Tovloch, and good for him in the next world. And then the Gemara says, he's greater than a Yorei Shomayim, he who fears Hashem. He who fears Hashem is called the Shemre Mitzvah, the Gar Hashem's Mitzvahs, but not Ohavai, not the ones that are beloved. The ones who are beloved, he says he's greater. Why? Because by the Yorei Shemayim it states, Ashrei Ish Yorei Hashem. Fortunate is the man who fears Hashem, and it just says it once. Only once. While there it says twice, Ashrecha and Tovloch. So the Maral explains, because the one who does Malocha and he has joy from it, that means he loves his work. That's Ehoif. He's not doing it because Nebuch, I have to go off and do a job and I hate it. He loves it. And he loves the fruits of his hands. He's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Ava because he's thankful for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him. When you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Ava, and in this manner, he says you have two worlds. You have this world, like we explained. He's involved in the affairs of this world. He's enjoying this world. And you'll have the world to come. That's why it states, Ashrecha betom loch. And he has both worlds, b'shleimus, in totality. The Yorei Hashem, the one who merely fears Hashem, he'll also have the world to come. But it only states, Ashrei, which means one phrase for both worlds. Neither world will he have in totality. This world he won't have in totality because he serves Hashem with fear. He's afraid. And the same thing with the next world. These are some principles when it comes to, again, that it's a very important order that the Maral says, why did Shemaya say, Ehaiv es ha-malocha? He should say, Aseh es ha-malocha, do work. See, or Bechor, choose yourself work, a good work. Ehaiv, love. It's not enough. A person has to love. The Gemara brings actually another case, which I must make mention of. It states, just find it. It's a Gemara in Nedorim. Yeah. Gemara in Nedorim and Daf Mem Tesam at Beis, where it says, Rabbi Yehuda karhavi also lebe midrosha. Rabbi Yehuda, when he used to go to the Beis HaMedrash, in those days, the Beis HaMedrash could be very, very crowded, and it was a custom that many people would sit on the floor. There weren't enough chairs. So, Rabbi Yehuda, when he used to go to the Beis HaMedrash, Shokol Gulpa Al Ksefei, he used to take a kankan, like a stool or a barrel, a small barrel, he would put it on his shoulder and he would carry it to the Beis HaMedrash. And people would want to carry it for him. He said, no, no. And they would say, why not? He would say, Gedol de Malocha. You see what kind of barocha, malocha, toil is. Shemechabedes es ba'alecha. It brings kovet to a person. because then when I get to the base of Medrash, I don't have to sit on the floor. I can sit on a stool. I can sit on the barrel. So the Maral says, if a person, when a person does malocha, so he's actually being mechabed es atzmo. He's bringing honor and dignity to himself. Because he fixes his clothing, fixes his house, he lives an honorable style, he has employment. So he's bringing honor to, he doesn't have to come on to tzedakah. He says, shouldn't a person love something that brings honor to himself? And that's what the Rebbe Yehuda says, don't take it away from me. He says, I want to do it. G'day l'malocha. Shemechabedes says, ba'aleha, it brings honor to the Baal Malocha, to the one who toils. So these are some observations where they said, Ehoiv you shall love, and Sneas Arabonos, and you shall hate those who disdain the concept of industry, the concept of productivity, the concept of Malocha. On Shabbos we were speaking, what about those who learn Torah? We're not going to go into this whole discussion now. The Rambam was very, very strong on this. He didn't want anybody to come on to funds from others. He was very, very strong on it. But those who learn Torah, those people who have public positions in the community, be it in whatever it might be, that's their malocha. There's plenty of malocha in that. There's plenty of hard work. So that's their malocha. Those, though, however, who are sitting and studying, and they're not working for the community, and they're not doing malocha. And this is what we have, what was known as kolels. What about that? This is not a new concept. This is an old concept. Well, I don't know how old, but it's not a new concept. But this was always done on a short term. It wasn't done endlessly, on a short term. And it was done for those who were individuals where such a situation was necessary to prepare them for and to bring out their talents for what they could contribute in their public positions for the community. This is what was always done. This is what I always heard in yeshiva, in Telz, and this is how it was done then. Unfortunately, there are those who are changing it. And this was not the way. It was not the way at all. I just saw, I recently received some sforim, which were recently published. And these are the letters of Chaim Ezer, Zichrein Avrocha. Chaim Ezer, the Vilna Rav, he was the Godel Hador, the greatest of his generation, who lived not long ago. He died in 1940. So letters were, it's for him, he had thousands of letters during his lifetime. He was a very prolific correspondent. They published his letters. So in there he writes a letter that between the wars, First World War and Second World War, many of the yeshivas were forced to move from one place to the other. And there were some kolels, and some of these kolels had to either close up or they were very weak. So he writes a letter, a long letter, which he sent all over, even to America, where he appeals for the support of the kolel in Kovne. Kovne, he said, had a great kolel, and it was established by the great Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan. And he says, and also by Rabbi Yitzchok Blelzer, who is the Talmud of Yisrael Salanter. And it's been weakened terribly. And he says, and it's urgent that funds are brought to help strengthen it and reestablish it. So consistently, over and over, he writes there, what the purpose of the Kollel, why did they establish it? He writes, Leman ha'avreichim ha'muflogim v'ha'mitzuyonim le'elu shonu mitzapin. He says, for those special talmidim, he says, that stood head and shoulders over all of the other talmidim of the yeshivas, and our eyes are to them, that they will become the Gedele Yisrael. He says, they will be the Rabbonim of the next generation. They will be the Rosh Hashivas of the next generation. He says, he writes there that in the old days, it was possible that many of them would reach already their great maturity in learning before they were married. But he says, Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan in his foresight saw that with the Yeridus Hadoris, with the going down of the generations and all of the troubles that was hitting Klal Yisrael. That was the First World War, and then the other years, and all of the movements, the communist movement, the socialist movement, the Tsar, and so forth. He says, those people who will occupy the positions of Rabbonim and the positions of Rosh Hashivas, and Klal Yisrael will be led by them, they will be a light to Klal Yisrael, they will not be able to develop properly unless they have an opportunity to study another few years after they're married. He says, this is why Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan established the kollels. And these kollels are necessary, therefore we have to find funds to support it. And over he speaks about the muflogim, the mitzuyonim, the balei kishreinus that will become the Rosh Hashivas, and the Rabbonim of Klal Yisrael. So this was the concept of kollel. Right? But otherwise, nobody had the Rambam held further, though. The Rambam holds, in his time, he didn't even like people who had public positions, that they were coming onto public funds. All right, that was a different story. And that, the Kesef Mishnah says, that's something that we can do in our generations as far as a general practice, maybe individuals, but not as far as a general practice. But this was the concept of kollel. In some circles, it has become greatly, very, very greatly distorted, to the point where recently it's gone even further, where now they are looking at someone who works with disdain, okay? Like the aristocracy, that they've dropped a notch because they're working. That is not the opinions of the Chazal of Ar Chachomim. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.